The Titans' collapse concluded last night in Jacksonville. And today, all of the NFL matchups that are factoried in for the postseason continue. And we're here along for the ride for the next 2 hours on 102.5 The Game. With Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Glad you're with us. We're broadcasting today from 6th and Peabody, the home of Outkick 360 and the home of all of the NFL action. And we're discussing it for NFL postgame. Our coverage each and every week presented by Two Rivers Ford, Renters Warehouse, and Superbook Sports, normally at Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook at Margaritaville on Broadway. NFL postgame just kicking off. Chase McCabe making the show happen for us. Ladarius Robinson here alongside as well. Chad, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hutton.
Early evening.
It is not a great afternoon if you are a Titans fan, as you watch games of actual consequence across the NFL right now, teams that could be going on to the playoffs. And now knowing your fate as a Titans fan, that you will not be going to the postseason for the first time in 6 years, five straight years the Titans were in the postseason, not going to happen this year. Disappointing year in a lot of ways. We're going to get into all of it. The past, what's going on right now in the present, what the future could and should look like for this Titans organization. We want to explore every angle of this Titans story in what was, Hutton, I guess you'd describe it as just another ultimately disappointing game and a string of very disappointing games to end the season on a 7-game losing streak.
20-16 the final. And Chad, I think the game in and of itself to me played out almost as a microcosm of the season in many ways, where they're doing some nice things. Defensively, they did their part. You know, I think we could point to the defense all season in that regard. And, you know, a poor offensive line and the best of a bad situation at quarterback ultimately puts them in a spot where they're losing, and Jacksonville makes a play late where the Titans couldn't. The Titans have not been able to go get points at all this season in the fourth quarter. They have 3 total touchdowns in the fourth quarter to end the season. And they had some opportunities last night to go do it, couldn't, and a holding penalty on the final drive. They're dumping off passes to, you've got different options down the field, but nothing that's going to get you 17 yards that they needed. That has crippled this offense, even when it wasn't like they were going to go get 7 yards. You know, it was 2nd and 7, and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 17. Microcosm of the season, and they're headed home. And you said, you know, Titans fans aren't happy about this. I heard from a lot of Titans fans that wanted just to go ahead and get the season over with.
Which is weird to me.
I don't buy into that.
I don't buy into that at all. I mean, you've got Jacksonville flexing their little video the day of the game about how they're going to take back the division. And I mean, if that didn't fire you up as a competitor and as a fan, I don't know what will. I'm watching that game last night. I even tweeted about this. As a huge fan of Josh Dobbs personally, it was an exhilarating experience. And I was texting about this with a lot of Tennessee alum that love Josh Dobbs, love him personally, loved him as a competitor, loved him as a player at Tennessee, and now to see him get his chance with the state NFL team in a win and end scenario and actually play well. I mean, he's 20 for 29, 179 yards, a touchdown in the game, a beautiful pass to Chigakonkwo for the touchdown.
Yep.
2 huge fourth down conversions to keep drives. At a 10 to 11 minute drive they had first over the first and second quarter that he kept alive with 2 fourth down conversions, clutch throws. It's disappointing to see it in that way for Dobbs and the Titans. I don't understand that mentality. If you can get in the playoffs, you go to the playoffs. It's not a huge difference in terms of draft position. They weren't going to win a playoff game no matter what. I don't think Jacksonville's going to win a game. Spoiler alert, Chargers are a better team. And from what I saw from Trevor Lawrence last night, it wasn't a lot. Trevor Lawrence didn't do much to win that game for Jacksonville at home, which has to be terribly disappointing for him. I could tell it was in the post-game interview last night on ESPN and ABC. But, Hutton, I'm watching the game, and you talked about that second half, anemic offense for the Titans. They drive it down. I was shocked. It's 10-7 after a 10-0 lead, and it's 3rd and 9 on that drive, and I'm thinking they're about to punt it back and they're going to be behind, and the game is going to be over. And instead, Josh Dobbs hits, I believe, on that one, Austin Hooper, for a big first down on mm-hmm. 3rd and 9. Titans drive, get a field goal. They're up 13-7. And then the whole second half was a game of bend but don't break. Don't let them in the end zone. Hold them to a field goal. And it was right there in the balance for the Titans. They had done their job. Defense was much better. Hutton, you pointed this out. Defense is playing better down the stretch. After a miserable performance against this Jags team, they were much better last night. And then you've got the unfortunate play where a guy comes unblocked and hits Josh Dobbs. Fumble, return for a touchdown. You talk about that play, which I thought wasn't as cut and dry as ESPN made it out to be. But either way, Jags get it done because of that one play. But the Titans did everything necessary up to that point to just eke out a close win with a limited roster. And I think that's ultimately what's most disappointing about this. Josh Dobbs, inserting him was the right decision. He gave them a chance. He was not great, but he was really good considering last night was his 17th day with the Titans organization, with the Titans team. Gave them a chance, couldn't get over the hump, and now it's Jacksonville taking this division. And a big part of this that we're going to talk about the future of this team, I don't think it's a short-term deal. This is now the team in the AFC South to beat moving forward.
It feels that way for sure. And, I mean, here's the crazy thing. What we saw from this method of their madness of how they even started 7-3 to finish 7-10, if you would have told me that the Titans would have held a fourth quarter lead and they lose because of a turnover, we all believe that, right, ahead of the game.
Yep.
If you would have told me that the Titans defense was going to allow 13 points and they're going to lose, it doesn't sound outrageous.
No.
Because that's been the script. But at the same time, like, low scoring, every moment matters. The defense itself, good to win. Henry, good to win. But the offense, and this has been the case with Tannehill to start the year to where it ended with Dobbs, when you had to go get points, by and large, they could not drive to get points, even when they were healthy in week one. You know, they've averaged about the same thing every week. That's the disappointing part of this. As part of the 7 wins at 7-3, and they still end up with 7 wins at 7-10, and they head to the offseason looking for a new general manager and a new direction with this roster, the disappointing part is the collapse with the offense when healthy. And whenever they started going down with injuries, they had no chance. And it started with the offensive line, to me, not even the quarterback. Malik Willis, not good. But the offensive line, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is getting the crap beat out of him throughout. And he's playing hurt, playing injured, and tried to come back and play injured again throughout this season. It, crazy fall. And we saw everyone's trying to – not everyone. People are trying to make it like, oh, the window's still cracked. This is slammed shut. And it was slammed shut last year whenever they lost to Cincinnati. I mean, let's be honest there. Compared to where they went and ended up without A.J. Brown, and we can go through the whole saga, the door was slammed shut when they lost to Cincinnati and everything happened around the draft.
Let's talk about that window.
Yep.
And not only is it shut, the Titans took a bowling ball and threw it through the window and shattered it with this season. That's what's happened. It's over. John Robinson, gone.
Nope.
Taylor Lewan will retire, I believe, and go into media. The foundations of this team, gone. Mike Vrabel is left, and I love Mike Vrabel, and he gives them a chance. But this is maybe they can reset in 1 year with one bad year and get a high draft pick and get back to being competitive for a playoff spot. But I think this is probably a 2-year rebuild the Titans are looking at. And that offensive line, is there an encouraging part about it?
No.
I mean,
they need at least 4 new starters.
I was thinking about this right in the build-up to the show today, and I'm thinking, I don't know who I like. And I circle and say, well, you got the right guard figured out, or you got right tackle, or mm-hmm. left. There's nothing that I'm encouraged about on the offensive line. Nothing. Here is what's encouraging about the Titans' offense. 3 things. Chigakonkwo, Treylon Burks, Josh Dobbs is the backup quarterback.
Yes.
He's earned that.
Yep.
He has won that job. Josh Dobbs can give you a puncher's chance to not be terrible offensively with a good offensive coordinator, which the Titans don't have right now, and Todd Downing, and that needs to change. But those are the three things that I'm encouraged about coming out of this stretch with the Titans. Not a single offensive lineman. That's it. Okonkwo, Burks, Dobbs as the backup, and that's key. Dobbs is not a starter in the NFL. I think we knew that coming into the stretch. We know that after these two games, even though he played admirably. But Josh Dobbs as the backup is a really good option to have if you're the Titans. So I hope they end up making that move with whoever they hire as GM. Let's hope that general manager makes the move of Josh Dobbs being the backup.
615-737-1025, our number if you'd like to join us here on NFL Postgame. Just a couple of notes here. So
also, we want to take a bunch of calls.
Yes.
We've done this through every show, and it's not often that we get a chance to take a bunch of phone calls, Hutton, you and I. And so we'd love to hear from Middle Tennesseans, Titans fans, wherever you are. 615-737-1025. Let's talk it out. Let's discuss what happened last night. Let's discuss what happened in this seven-game losing streak. Let's discuss what should happen moving forward with this Titans team. We want to hear from you. 615-737-1025.
Jacksonville trailed 13-10 after their field goal to open the third quarter. Their final five possessions gained just 39 yards total, and they won this game 20-16. Another theme of this, Chad, and why they're finishing the season and they're not playing next week in the wild card round, they were great in the red zone. They were great in the red zone, and that won them most of their games. They scored on 25 of their 27 drives that reached the red zone, second best in the NFL. 20 of the 25 were touchdowns. And then against Cincinnati, things fell apart. Three red zone drives, no touchdowns. They made two field goals. They missed another. That cost them in that game. The losing streak, 15 red zone drives, very low number to begin with.
Hey, by the way, quickly, Kate from Old Smoky Yeehaw, yeah, where we are, just want us to bring up that it's Elvis's birthday. So we should also recognize that, a legend. It's Elvis's birthday. He would have been 88 years old today. 88 years young, as Al Roker would say. 88 years young, Elvis today.
Elvis is alive, Chad.
By the way, have you seen the film, Elvis, that came out this past year?
I have it on
DVR.
Baz
Luhrmann. Have you seen that, Kate? Yeah, it's a really good movie. I was impressed by it. Austin Butler, who played Elvis in it, it is a remarkable transformation that he went through to become Elvis and sing as Elvis in the movie. Very well done. Anyways, I just wanted to bring that up as we're going through these stats.
Well, I'm just the themes.
Kate wanted us to bring that up.
The red zone opportunities where they're getting, and this was last night too, they had drives where they just settled for field goals. You know, they could not punch it in, and ultimately that's where we are with this offense, where it went off a cliff. And the losing streak, 15 red zone appearances, terrible. And when they got there, not enough touchdowns. Seven touchdowns of the 15. Two of those drives ended without points of the 15. And that's what allows them to lose games where their defense is allowing just 13 points. 615-737-1025, our number. We're going to watch the trailer of Elvis during the break, and we're going to also get the scoreboard.
We're going to react to that trailer, and we're also going to take some phone calls and let you know what's going on right now. I do know this, Hutton. The Miami Dolphins,
yes,
they're going to the playoffs. Mike McDaniel, they're back. They're playoff bound.
They went 11-6 today over the Jets. What a game. What a game. Other finals.
Hit a field goal with 20 seconds left, and then that safety came on the – you know, Hail Mary version, the lateral version of the Hail Mary on the last play where the Jets had to score. So they're lateraling, and they kept going further and further back. Ends up in a safety, and that's how they got the 11. It was 9-6 at that point.
So we're going to get to a lot of different scenarios and plays from last night's game between the Titans and Jags. The Bears have the number one overall pick in the draft, by the way. They lose, and Houston wins 32-31.
And a weird decision to make for the Bears with the number one overall pick. We'll talk about that.
Hit us up. More coming on NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game.
Dobbs is hit from behind. The ball's out. They're calling this a fumble at the moment. And the return by Allen for the touchdown.
There's a quick review. I mean, do you think it was the right call? If you get a chance to get a second look at it yourself?
All scoring plays are reviewed, so they clearly, there's only one game going on. There's probably a couple set of eyes that looked at it. No, they didn't put it on a replay. I mean, when I looked up, I didn't see the replay.
That's Mike Vrabel last night post-game discussing the fumble that was returned for a touchdown that won Jacksonville the game. Welcome back to NFL post-game on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. With Chad Withrow, I'm Jonathan Hutton for NFL post-game presented by Superbook Lounge at Land Shark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville on Broadway. Renter's Warehouse and Chad are great friends at Two Rivers Ford.
Two Rivers Ford in stock inventory, like us, Hutton, is back. F-150s, Explorers, Edges, Escapes. They've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years, and they treat their customers like family. Give them a call at 800-900-1000 or visit them on the lot in Mount Juliet at Two Rivers Ford. And a big thanks to our friends at Renter's Warehouse as well. You can book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or call them at 615-398-9550.
The game's in progress right now. The Commanders leading the Cowboys 13-0 in the second quarter. And Philadelphia, they are leading the Giants 13-0. Philly with a win. They're the number one overall seed, and they will win the division. The only way that doesn't happen is if Philly somehow loses this lead to the Giants. They lose the game, and then Dallas wins over Washington in Washington. That would make Dallas the winner of the NFC East. Chargers over the Broncos currently, 14-7 second quarter, 8-11 left in the first half. The Chargers with a win, they're 10-6 now. By getting to 11-6, they will be in Jacksonville for Wild Card Weekend. They are guaranteed to play Jacksonville with a win today over Denver. The 49ers lead the Cardinals 14-6. And with 6:08 remaining first half, Seahawks and Rams, they are tied at 6. This factors into Sunday Night Football. With a loss by Seattle, Detroit remains alive for the postseason. It will be a similar situation to what we had last night in Jacksonville. With a Seattle loss, the winner of Green Bay-Detroit goes to the postseason as the 7 seed. Seattle, by winning this game over the Rams, again, they're currently tied at 6 in the first half. That means Green Bay, with a win, they're in, but Detroit would be eliminated from playoff contention before the game even kicks off. That's the risk they had by putting this game on Sunday night. But honestly, Green Bay, with a chance to get in, with Aaron Rodgers and company doing that.
Oh, this is a great.
It's a great game.
This is the choice.
Yep.
This is the choice to have this game with Green Bay's ability to win and in. And how about the Rams with a chance in Sean McVay's final game as head coach of the Rams to knock Seattle out and give the Lions a chance in primetime that game and get in the playoffs?
How crazy is it that the Seattle Seahawks, one of the best stories of the season, I'm rooting against them because I want the Lions to have a shot at the postseason.
Yeah, I want
– you know what I mean? It's crazy. That
Sunday Night Football to be winning in for Lions, Packers. I'm totally with you on that, to have the high stakes for that game. It's also crazy that McVay reports yesterday. A year ago was like a day or two before the Super Bowl.
Yep.
There started to be some reports, and, hey, Sean McVay may not be long for this. He even made a comment about it.
Yep.
Quickly. But then Aaron Donald goes back all in. Rams go back all in. Disappointing follow-up season to the Super Bowl championship season. And now all of a sudden – you're going into a final, what for the Rams is an inconsequential regular season finale.
Yep.
And there's a lot of reports that he may be headed to a TV booth.
615-737-1025, our number. 737-1025, our number. Let's go to the phones. Adam in Portland is first up today for NFL postgame on 102.5. Hey, Adam.
Hey, man. I'm hearing a lot of different things about Tannehill, and I don't know, you guys have watched it as much as I have. Is there any reason we should eat $36 million to watch what we watched this season from Tannehill? And I say that because I know Dobbs wasn't perfect. I would hate to think that those two games are the only showing we get from Dobbs. Like, honestly, I feel like he gave me more in his little bit that he got than what Tannehill did all season. Yeah, I know he was hurt. I know he had different factors. We didn't get any more from a $36 million guy than what we got from a 8-day practice squad guy. Like, it's, I might as well just take that $36 million, find two real linemen, and maybe a real receiver and see if Dobbs is any good. I mean, do you guys agree with that?
Well, here's the plan, though. And, Adam, thank you for the call. The plan has to include Tannehill or a vet of some sort, because I don't see them, Chad, regardless of who the GM is or whatever, and if you're on Tannehill's side or not. Personally, and I was asked this by Caroline and the crew this week, what I would do at quarterback, I would bring Tannehill back. I would bring him back as part of the plan, because there's so many changes, so many shakeups, and it starts on the O-line, that I would want him at least for another year in the mix as you try to bridge this back to whatever and however quickly you can get it back. But, Chad, no one stands a chance behind that O-line currently, and or the receivers or lack thereof, and it's not even about Treylon Burks, honestly. The tight ends were non-existent. Hooper and Woods, non-existent. Two big acquisitions of the offseason until late, wherever we saw flashes from two of them. But for the most part, Tannehill got no help. And that's – they can win with Ryan Tannehill. We've seen that. They can win with Derrick Henry and this defense. But their identity isn't through the pass. It's been through the run, and the offensive line was atrocious, and they failed on their identity as a football club. That, to me, needs to be the emphasis.
Well, let's start here from what the caller's point of what he was making. Ryan Tannehill's better than Josh Dobbs right now.
Oh,
and gives
yes.
you and gives you a better chance
yes.
to win. So he was going down the path of I saw more from Dobbs in those two games than I saw from Tannehill. I disagree. Tannehill's a better starting quarterback in the NFL right now than Josh Dobbs. But to me, the fundamental question with this Titans team is, what do you ultimately want?
Yeah.
You want to put Ryan Tannehill out there in front of or behind a terrible offensive line, not a great supporting cast on offense, in this transition year where maybe you go 7-10 again or 6-11, where you could go 3-14 a year from now and get a top two or three draft pick at quarterback? Because,
well,
Hutton, I think they're in a spot where they need to hit the reset button. And if you're hitting the reset button is Josh Dobbs starting at quarterback for an entire season and giving him an offseason to where he is competing for the starting job and let him go out there and start. I don't think he – and I love Josh Dobbs. I don't think he's going to win the job permanently. But what Josh Dobbs can do is get you to 3-14, which is going to get you a top three draft pick.
But I
so
I
it's just, it's a here's I say all that to bring this up. With most teams in the NFL, you know exactly what they are and what they're trying to do. Not that they're trying to lose, but the Houston Texans were terrible before the season. They remain terrible throughout the season, and they're going to get a top pick. That's what we knew they were going to be going into this next offseason, with some promising talent that's young. Jacksonville's been in that spot the last 3 or 4 years. What are the Titans? If they're going to argue that a window is still open, that's ludicrous. The window is shut. The window does not exist. So you have to reset. So bringing Ryan Tannehill back at that price tag, to me, just doesn't make any sense.
Well, and Chad, the window is being held open with a straw anyway, and it's collapsed. I mean, the Titans fans and a lot of people that were hanging on to that window being propped open, even if they did win this game, I think were delirious. There was no way it was going to stay open.
Well, let's
I completely agree. And we knew coming into this season, Hutton, we said we had a post-game show here on 102.5 The Game after the Giants loss. And that was a kind of an abrupt, if this continues offensively, that window that we may have thought the Titans were at the tail end of to win a title or to be competitive, it has completely run out.
Well,
and the offense continued that way throughout the year.
Oh, no doubt. But so let's ponder this as we go to break. By the way, we welcome your phone calls. And Chase, do the same. Ponder this. So are they a rebuild away or are they an offensive coordinator away? Because the bitching that's gone on all year hasn't been about a rebuild. It's been about the offensive coordinator.
Yep, one guy's name.
So if you believe that, they're not as bad as what they're selling now, which is 7-10. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so if they're that, then you can actually say, hey, let's get the O-line right. Let's get someone in that's going to get points when we need it, right?
Yep.
And oh, by the way, there were games where they didn't get fourth quarter points, but when they actually held a lead, they kept it. They didn't turn the football over, and the defense did its part throughout the entire year. That they can win with this model. Now, when I say win, they can win the division. They're in the postseason. But if you're telling me we're going to rebuild and Downing staying, and I'm just thinking, well, to me, Mike Vrabel, and I want to get you and Chase.
I've got a very clear answer to the Todd Downing situation.
Mike Vrabel, to me, doesn't sign up for a rebuild, let's collapse and go get a quarterback next year. I don't see him. To me, that's not in his DNA. So if he's not going to admit that and do the rebuild, then how do you go about it? To me, it's the OC, and that's how you can change things based on the results we've seen. 615-737-1025. Chad and Chase chime in when we return on 102.5 The Game.
What do you think the second half offensive struggles have been so consistent this year, Mike?
I mean, I only talk on tonight. I think they played better. You know what I mean? Come on. We're out there battling, Joe. I mean, battling their ass off with guys that didn't even start the season with us. So that's what the problem was sometimes tonight. But, you know, that's where it was. You know, we'll try to take a look at everything else at a later time, but focus on tonight. You know, the penalty, you know, I mean, there's some penalties that costly again. First and, 30-yard run, it gets called back, and it's first and 20. You know, those are tough. So those are things that you can't do. Two turnovers. We'll keep typing all those things down. Those are going to lead to not much points.
More from Mike Vrabel there post game last night in Jacksonville as the Titans head to the offseason and the Jags will host a wild card playoff game next weekend for their first appearance since 2017 in the playoffs. They win the AFC South. Welcome back, NFL post game. Presented by Superbook Sports and Superbook Sports Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville on Broadway. That's the second floor there. And they have great food and drink specials, but plenty of TVs everywhere for your sports experience. And check out Superbook Sports for all of your gaming. Two Rivers Ford and Renters Warehouse, who have been with us throughout the entire season of post-game comments and thoughts and opinions on the Titans and more here on 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025, our number. Chase McKay back in studio making it happen for us today. We appreciate you. Also, Ladarius Robinson here making things happen as we broadcast at 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. All right, Chad, lead us off and then Chase chime in as well with the move. How many moves are they away? If it's a complete rebuild, then it's not all about Downing, or is it?
So Edward on Twitter says this, and it's going to lead into my answer to this. Edward, listening to the show, says, any talk of sticking with Tannehill is a no-go for me. They're not ever going to win a Super Bowl with him, and even worse, they're going to be stuck in limbo with him, which is the worst place to be, which is sort of the point I was making. This is a complete rebuild. I think you got to let go Tannehill. I think Josh Dobbs should be the starter next year. You lose as many games as possible. You get a high draft pick. You bring in here's what they need ultimately. Remember that 2006 Chris Hope, David Thornton free agent class?
Yep.
They need a free agent class. Kevin Mawai. They need a similar class to that, but with two or three offensive linemen in that mix where they can go out, spend good money in free agency, bring in core guys not at the high-dollar positions. Get you a guard. Get you a right tackle. Go to some different spots that's not the big money spots. And then bring in a base of some guys who have been in the league that you're going to have to spend some money for to bring in and get that settled. And then you go about it and say, all right, hey, Dobbs is good for a short time. He can have the offseason to prepare. Malik Willis is not going to be the guy. Maybe Malik Willis competes with Josh Dobbs. However you want to put it, no Ryan Tannehill. Move forward with that. Know that you're probably going to lose a lot of games. And then go and get a top two or three pick at quarterback the following year. Maybe it's Caleb Williams a year from now. Whoever it is, to me, that's the route for the Titans team. That's going to be up to the general manager they hire. Now, Hutton, I also agree with you that that is antithetical to everything that's at the core of Mike Vrabel in wanting to do. I get all of that. But I am telling you what is best for this franchise long term. You can bounce back quickly if you're smart. Titans could be down for a year and then competitive the following year. If they go about this rebuild in a smart way, to me, that's the answer of what should be done.
Chase?
So I kind of halfway agree with Chad on this because, look, I don't think they have a choice but to rebuild the offense. They don't have an offensive line, and so they're going to have to rebuild that. They have one receiver in Treylon Burks. I don't think Woods is back. The problem is the defense, because this defense, when healthy, is pretty good. I listened to Jeffrey Simmons last night. That doesn't sound like a guy that wants to bail. That sounds like a guy that wants to see this through. I mean, he was talking about he's been shot up in the ankle 8 straight weeks so he could be on the field with his teammates. That's a guy that wants to be a part of the solution to this and not just parachute out. But if you go rebuild, I mean, you can build around Simmons, but he'd have to, you know, go through some years like Jason McCourty did and some of those pillars from back in the day that did a lot of losing. That could happen, and maybe he would do that. But then what are you doing with Kevin Byard? Are you going to move on from him to start your rebuild? It's a really tough situation, and I don't envy the new GM. Where I really do agree with you, Chad, is Vrabel didn't sign up for that. Vrabel went into this season thinking they were going to win the AFC South, have another winning season, and go chase the Super Bowl. And then they lost 7 in a row, and now they're sitting at home. I think what the Titans have to be weary of, if Ryan Day doesn't figure out how to win the big one, that is going to be a real conversation at Ohio State. And I think Vrabel would jump at that opportunity. So I think that needs to be something that's in the back of their mind.
What I see, so if Ohio State came calling, I would. Yeah, here's how I give Vrabel a raise. I make him the executive vice president because they just fired theirs and John Robinson.
Yep.
And you make him EVP just like they made Jeff Fisher EVP. That's one way to just tack on more money, and it's a title. You know, it's
so the Ohio State question.
You sure I'm saying that?
Yes, and it's interesting because you never have that mindset if you're the head coach at Ohio State. You never have to worry about the cycle you're in the NFL and the pros.
Right.
So it's always balls to the wall, win or else at Ohio State, and Mike Vrabel thrives in that environment. So he would love that, and he gets total say over his roster if he's doing that. I also, though, Chase, I don't know. I think it's viable. I don't know the level of interest that Mike Vrabel has in NIL and recruiting and all those things.
Fair.
And being the head coach at Ohio State. Now, Hutton, you're right, though. The way you just combat all that, if you love Mike Vrabel that much, is to make him the Bill Belichick of the Tennessee Titans. It's that simple.
Which is what they're probably going to do.
So, to me, this year, this was a double-digit winning team production-wise from Derrick Henry. Look at the 100-yard-plus games. He gave you that type of effort. The defense, double-digit win-type team with what they produced. So if you're backing the scheme on defense wins, and it does, and building through the run game keeps you competitive, and it does, even for a terrible roster, this was a competitive, maybe a stretch. They played close games, even in losses, for the most part. But my point is, how many moves are they away, quote-unquote, in order to be back to where you've – and we're talking about a Super Bowl window. We're not talking about winning the division, right? I'm not for hanging banners anymore after we've celebrated that for the first time in years when they won the AFC South, right? But you guys see what I'm saying. If it's a rebuild, it's really one side of the ball for me. It's not the nucleus of the roster as much as it is the offense that's a part of this roster that needs to be retooled and rebuilt And given that, I don't think they're like 20 moves away from being competitive, because they have a defense that, regardless of who's playing, for the most part, they're going to keep it a low-scoring affair. And they do have at least another year in Henry if they want to bring him back, to where you feel comfortable that he's going to do his part in order to keep you in games, time of possession. What crippled them, though, were the turnovers and the O-line. We could go back to that. But
yeah,
if it's just about that, and I believe it is, my plan would be, I know Edwards not going to be on board with this. You guys certainly not either. But my plan would be to bring Tannehill back. I draft Hendon Hooker, bring back Josh Dobbs, whatever. Hooker is going to be he needs a redshirt year anyway due to his injury based on when it happened. And you plan for the future, but you stay competitive in the here and now. I just don't believe it's in Mike Vrabel's DNA. If I'm the new GM coming in for an interview, sitting across the table is Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, who fired the general manager at 7-5 on December the 6th, to then pitch a rebuild. The plan is to break it down and tank. This is not the group to pitch that to. I just don't buy that. So how do you get back to competitive, and how do you get back to a belief within the organization that they're the best team in their division and they're competitive in the AFC? I think Tannehill has to be a part of that plan.
We all agree that it starts, and Chase, I'll start with you on this. Can we all agree that it starts with parting ways with Todd Downing?
Absolutely.
That's got to be the first decision.
Yes. That should have already – that, as we sit here talking right now, that should have already happened. Because Vrabel's speaking at 11:30 tomorrow, that should – Todd Downing should be cleaning his office out right now. That should have already happened, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I totally agree. And, Hutton, you talked about you can't pitch that as the organization when you've been talking about Super Bowls and – firing John Robinson because winning the division wasn't enough.
I'm saying if I'm the candidate for general manager, and I'm brought in, and they say, okay, let's hear your plan and why you're
and
going
the,
to
and
win.
And their plan is
and
to
your
rebuild,
plan is to
blow
break it,
up. It
all the way down to where you're gunning for the number one overall pick.
Well, one thing that I'm thinking about, you know, big picture, what Amy Adams Strunk in the front office is selling to the city of Nashville, and the, you know, people are going to buy tickets and all of that. You dropped in there, you know, you draft Hendon Hooker. Josh Dobbs and Hendon Hooker's on this roster. People that aren't Tennessee fans can believe what they want. That is going to be a boom in the box office for this organization.
Sure.
There are going to be a lot more people that buy season tickets that are Tennessee Vols fans that will support this team more financially if they draft Hendon Hooker. That is an interesting option to me. It's a long shot, you know, based on where is he going to go, will he be available, all of that, and what the new GM will think about him. But that's very interesting to me that there is a way to both have a hit at the box office and keep people interested and serve the goal of maybe not winning as many games and getting a high draft pick again. That's going to help you reset quicker.
But by bringing back Tannehill, Chase, in my pitch here, I feel like they can win more games and still accomplish what we're talking about. Rebuilding the offensive line doesn't require you having a top 10 pick. In 2024, rebuilding the wide receiving core.
What did Cincinnati just do, by the way, with the offensive line? If you want to point to an example,
exactly,
they were hideous.
Yes,
a year ago,
they and they could have even done more with it.
But they completely turned it in one off season with what they accomplished.
Yeah, and so Chase, pick up where Chad left off there. But like to me, rebuilding an O line doesn't require starting Josh Dobbs and getting a top 10 pick next year.
No, you can do that with Tannehill. You can, I mean, you know, I love your idea of Hendon Hooker, because I think he'd be more of an NFL quarterback than what they got right now, Malik Willis. But
no doubt,
you can do that and stick with Tannehill, because here's the thing with the offensive line. I think the first move is you go to Taylor Lewan and say, hey, we're not going to pay you what you're owed. We can cut you free and clear. But if you really want to be here and we like you, then we can do that, but you're going to make a lot less money than what you're making, and you do the old cut him and re-sign him at a better rate. That's your left tackle. I'd have no issue if they did that. All right? You got to go find a left guard, because I just think Brewer is too small. Maybe he moves to center. Maybe that's a better spot for him, because I don't see Ben Jones coming back. I think Ben Jones is probably going to call it a career. Let's see it. Right guard, you're good. Right tackle, I guess you're good. I mean, that's probably what you're going to go with. So it's really the left side and the interior that you got to worry about. That's three spots, though. That's why I think it would be vital to get Lawan to take less to come back and see what he's got with the knee.
That's okay. But, see, it's really four spots because Taylor Lewan isn't going to play more than a month next year if you bring him back. Let's just be honest with you.
Yeah, the guy, man, that's fair.
The guy's getting hurt. He gets a second opinion on his knee. And, by the way, that's all fair that he wants to do that. But at this point, with two ACLs over the last 3 years, he can be a piece, but he's not a solution at left tackle because even if you bring him back, you have to plan for life without him for 3 months, which is going to happen. And that's just the realistic aspect of where he is based on the injuries he's had. So in the quote-unquote rebuild of the front, I wouldn't bring him back or even try to, you know, cut and re-sign type thing. I would look for a more long-term solution there.
It's interesting to me that when you say Hendon Hooker, and I think about NFL comps for him, I think his ceiling is a better Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback.
Athletically, the way
he plays. I mean, can't you see that size-wise?
And I think
everything about him. I think if you're looking at what could Hendon Hooker be in the NFL, I think it's a better version of Ryan Tannehill that the Titans would be bringing in. So I like it. I like that plan.
And you're carrying three.
You sold me.
You're carrying three quarterbacks because he's not going to be ready. But that's the investment to where you can really – he's the same type of risk that you took with Malik Willis in the third round. But the difference is, based on the style of play and what we've seen, he can certainly run an NFL offense the way that they currently are constructed. 615-737-1025, our number. Scoreboard updates, more Titans discussion, and your phone calls next on NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game. Eagles leading the Giants 16-0 at halftime. Meanwhile, nearing the end of the first half, Dallas is officially on the board with 6 seconds to play in the first half. Dallas gets their first touchdown, CeeDee Lamb scoring from Dak Prescott. Currently 13-6 on the road in Washington, where the Commanders lead, extra point pending. Welcome to NFL Postgame. We've got another hour coming up. Chase McCabe and Chad Withrow alongside. Hutton with you, and so is Kenny the Mailman.
Yes.
The fellas.
Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Well, great, Kenny.
Welcome.
Good to hear from you, man.
Kenny, your voice.
Thank
Good hearing
you.
From you, man.
First and foremost, let me thank y'all for doing this year. I love calling people that will give you honest, open opinions that might not make you popular in some sections, but you're telling the truth, and that's what people need to hear. Yeah.
Kenny, Chase McCabe. It was Chase's idea, and we were all about it.
Yeah, we appreciate Chase. And we appreciate you for sticking with us all season, Kenny, and giving us a call. It's good hearing from you, too.
I appreciate Chase more than you know. When you hear the names Irsay, Bidwell, and Snyder, people that know football laugh because you know these people are impulsive. They make bad decisions. They're emotional. And yet we had an owner that February 8th, I just pulled up the blog that she was talking about when she gave John Robin, not only gave him an extension, a long extension, but praised him.
Yes.
Wanted to keep this together forever. He makes great decisions. Less than 10 months after that, I don't ever remember a GM getting fired in season. Gets fired in season. He had a week. To this day, I have not heard a logical reason why this has happened. Is this a sign of things to come? Is her last name now going to join those other groups, or do we have an owner that we can count on? And I'd like to hear y'all opinions on that, and I appreciate y'all. Goodbye.
Kenny, thank you, man. Honest reaction to what you're saying, I have asked these same questions to myself, to people within the organization. The silence from the organization, not just from ownership, I'm saying just silence and trying to even understand off the record what was going on. It was quiet. And that tells me people were stunned as much as the fan base, as much as I was through this, whatever it might be. By and large, Amy Adams-Strunk has made great decisions for this organization in, 8 years? By and large, too, her hiring process has been great with how she goes about things. I do believe her when she told Teresa Walker that she had been thinking about this for a while. I can tell you that she fired him on a phone call, and all that was said to him was, from what I understand, the roster's not good enough. She's not happy with the roster. The speculation that was allowed to happen, because they were silent from the ownership all the way down to front office, that ignited some of the questions that I think we all have. What did Mike Vrabel have to do with it? He wants to be the GM. If Ryan Cowden's the GM, then Vrabel's the GM. I don't know what they're going to do at general manager. But I also don't think it was as impulsive as something as from what Jim Irsay would do, what we would see from Bidwell. This is a – she put everyone on notice by firing John Robinson. Yep. Giving him the raise and the extension in February, and to what Kenny said, 10 months later, firing him, and by the way, paying him to leave, that everyone is on notice within the organization. Win. That's the bar. And what they were doing at 7-3, turning 7-5, was not good enough. And when she did it, I think is even more shocking, the fact she did it.
Let's get more into this ownership question when we come back in the second hour of the show. I've got thoughts on this as well. Plus your phone call, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Big thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Ford, Renters Warehouse. Big thanks to Six and Peabody for hosting us today as well. I've got some strong thoughts on what Amy Adams Strunk did with this move and how much of a role reversal it was based on every decision she had made up to that point.
That's all next. We've got another hour of NFL postgame with Chad Withrow, Chase McCabe, and me. Hope you'll join us as well. Phone lines open as we go to our second hour. That's next right here on 102.5 The Game. With you for the next hour as we take you through the late afternoon games for Week 18. NFL postgame continues on 102.5 The Game. Jonathan Hutton with you alongside Chad Withrow. Chase McCabe making it happen for us as well. And all of our coverage all season for NFL postgame. Big thanks to Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville. Thank you to Renter's Warehouse. You can book your free home rental price analysis today. Renterswarehouse.com is where you go for that. And Two Rivers Ford, they have been on board with us, Chad, for years and years, and you especially, and they helped you get back from Nebraska.
They did. They helped me get to Nebraska and back from Nebraska, Hutton. Two Rivers Ford, in-stock inventory back, F-150s, Explorers, Edges, Escapes. Just give them a call, 800-900-1000. On the question that Kenny the Mailman raised on the direction of the Titans' ownership and what this means, is it going to be more Daniel Snyder or is it going to be more Rooney family with Amy Adams Strunk? I don't know. I mean, that was so out of character and so unprecedented by her, Hutton, that everything she's done has been very much what you'd want in an owner.
We'll
staying
find
out of the limelight, someone that, you know, sits back, is very methodical in their process, not making waves left and right, hires good people, lets them do their job, doesn't go crazy at any point, not overly emotional. Yeah, I need to see more decisions, right? That's just – right now it's totally out of character for her, so I'm not going to jump on it and say, well, now she's Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
But you know what? One or two more decisions like that, that's just out of character, then it becomes character, right? It becomes who they are. So I can't really answer that question from Kenny the Mailman right now.
Chargers and Broncos tied at 17 at halftime. So if the Chargers lose this game, Baltimore will go to Jacksonville. If the Chargers win, they will play Jacksonville next week. I also, just to point out, Mike Williams, questionable to return for the Chargers with a back injury that occurred in the first half of this game. They're just getting healthy over the last month at wide receiver, and now Mike Williams is banged up again. Also, at halftime, Eagles lead the Giants 16-0. and the Commanders currently lead the Cowboys 13-6, so they missed the extra point. Dallas did right at the end of the half. They got a touchdown from CeeDee Lamb. 13-6, the current score at the half in Washington. 49ers lead the Cardinals at halftime 21-13, and underway in the second half, Rams leading the Seahawks 13-6. And keep in mind, if the Seahawks lose, Detroit is alive for the postseason. With a win, they're in. With a win for Green Bay, they're in either way. But Detroit is definitely keeping tabs on this score as they prepare to head over to Lambeau Field for Sunday Night Football.
Sean McVay, before he goes to television, going to give us one last gift for television by beating the Seahawks and opening up a win and end scenario for Detroit. Speaking of made for TV, Nyheim Hines, 96 yards on the opening kickoff. After everything that's gone on with DeMar Hamlin this week, it's almost too good to be true. I'm watching and thinking, is the fix in with the NFL? This is so – I mean, Jim Nantz is having a hard time. He's like, that's unbelievable that with everything that's happened, we're watching this.
And how little we see it in today's game, the return.
And then he had a 101-yard kickoff later. So then I think, oh, no. Patriots special team just sucks. There's no fix here. It's just they're terrible on special teams.
Bills win 35-23 over New England. New England was win and in, so they're out. Miami is in, and Miami will play at Buffalo next week. Mike McDaniel was asked about Tua Tagovailoa, and he had really no answer yet. That's intriguing because the guy has two concussions already, and they are under the microscope as the organization. It is a weird situation to try to navigate if you're Miami. I realize if he's clear and he's healthy, no big deal. But trust me, behind the scenes, Miami doesn't want to be, you know, team zero, patient zero, where they end up being the team that overlooks some type of new concussion protocol.
Well, let me defend my guy, Mike McDaniel, a little bit here, because the big question with the Dolphins, and this was the same deal with the Eagles going into the year.
Yep.
It was Tua.
Yep.
They provided everything around him to be successful. It was sink or swim time for Tua. Same with the Eagles. Obviously, Jalen Hurts swam. You know, he swam laps around Michael Phelps. He did so well with what they gave him. But with Tua, what is the coach supposed to do when the guy is getting knocked out of games left and right? I don't think he's done a bad job at all this year. There's right. criticism coming in. He still got them. It was Skylar Thompson at quarterback versus Joe Flacco today in that game. And he found a way to win 11-6. It was 9. He kicked a field goal to go up 9-6 with 20 seconds left. But I'm looking around thinking, are we really going to criticize this first-year coach given those circumstances? I would get it if Tua was healthy all year and they stumbled the way they did down the stretch, but come on. It's asking a little bit too much.
I think the scrutiny on Mike McDaniel is the fact that Sean Payton's out there. It's not that he's done a bad job. It's that the ownership wants Sean Payton.
Let Mr. Walmart overspend on Sean Payton. I mean, come on.
But
only one team's going to get Sean Payton. And Sean Payton is not the end-all, be-all. He's a good coach. He won a Super Bowl with the Saints. Great. He wasn't that great in the end with New Orleans. I think it's overly critical of Miami, and I think they may have a really good coach for the future.
I don't disagree. I mean, you and I discussed the column I wrote back in June about him, but just the intrigue and the fact that he backs his way into this job because of a lawsuit and the fact that word got out on Sean Payton and Tom Brady. But it's Brady and Payton, and that's all accurate. That's through the NFL report that they were investigating all that. So if you're saying, hey, you get Sean Payton, Tom Brady, and you already have Hill and Waddle, and I mean, as an owner, that's pretty incredible if you're trying to do whatever Ross is doing, who is in line with what Kenny the Mailman just called in with, right, on the rash decisions.
I'm biased Mike McDaniel, and I think he's going to do a good job. But you know what I would do before that? How about fire Josh McDaniels in Vegas and bring in Tom Brady with that roster and Sean Payton?
Well, they may not have to fire Josh McDaniels. Brady may want to pair with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, Brady with McDaniels. I mean, there you go. That's the answer.
I would rather pair Sean Payton with Tom Brady, but yeah, it's all. Granted, it's about what Tom Brady wants and not what everyone else wants. But I just
and you have Devontae Adams there, and you know, like it.
Have we officially entered the time zone of just, you know, coaches get a year maybe, and then if the year doesn't look good, it's like, yeah, let's just go find somebody else. Because of all the money that these owners have, it just feels like they give up way too soon. Or they make bad hires to begin with.
It's a great point, Chase. I still think we're in the era of it's got to be really bad. It's got to be really bad to be one and done. I think Lovie Smith is going to be one and done. We saw it with Nathaniel Hackett, who was really, really, really bad.
Awful.
Yes.
I think Todd Bowles is in danger of this. And that's mainly because Tom Brady's on the team. And not because of Todd Bowles, but they were very disappointing for the most part this year. If they go and lose their first playoff game, I think that's another one that's in danger of one and done. I don't know that it's going to be a trend. I think the extenuating circumstances of Sean Payton being available, like Hutton said, has a part to do with this also. I think you've got the wrong guy when you're looking at the Dolphins situation with McDaniel thinking this is the guy we got to get Sean Payton in to replace. We'll see.
But it's also where Sean Payton wants to be. That's the other key. All these jobs could be open, but if he wants Miami, and he was already talking about it, right? Like, that's the other point is if you feel like you can get him and you couldn't get him last year because of a lawsuit, let's be fair to that,
too. Let me give you two jobs right now that I would give Sean Payton. Bill Belichick status.
And you have to trade. You have to trade for him. That's the other part of it.
Yes. But I'm giving Bill Belichick status to Sean Payton at two jobs.
Okay.
Chargers, Cardinals. Let him take over those organizations.
Ooh.
With Herbert or Kyler Murray.
Ooh.
So either one. He wants to pair with a quarterback. I would obviously go Herbert one.
Yep.
Then I'd go Kyler Murray. But let the trade happen there and give him full control if you want. To me, that's the better option than trying to get rid of Mike McDaniel, who – still got the Dolphins with their quarterback concussed every other week to the playoffs in year one. Come on.
615-737-1025, our number. Just while we're talking about this, then we'll go to Luther. Guys, chime in. How many jobs, maybe not open tomorrow, but how many jobs do you think we are discussing? We already know of three. And I think Houston's going to be open.
Yep.
I think Cleveland could be open.
I agree.
Threw that out this week.
What could be some other surprises? The Chargers could be one with a one-and-done spot based on, again, if the Sean Payton thing is real in
LA.
Are
we including Kingsbury? I would include them on the list of
possible.
I think that'll be open.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it will too. I don't know that everyone would deem it likely. I think it's very possible is how I would say Kingsbury gone in Arizona.
Are there any others, though?
Sean McVay.
I think he's going to step away.
Based on reports.
I think McVay steps away.
So the Rams will be open.
We know Indy. So that's in the three, I guess. We know that's open.
Yeah.
Indy, Carolina, and Denver are open.
Yeah. Houston, probably.
When Vrabel takes the Ohio State job, Titans will be open. We know that.
Vegas is maybe.
I don't think so.
But I don't think so because I don't think they can afford it.
That's the report is they're not going to
I just still – I chuckle at that report. I remember being –
It's also like
– I remember being over at Margaritaville with the show when that report was out. They lost – when they lost the Colts in Jeff Saturday in Saturday's first game. And I'm thinking what just a loser report to come out that you're so bad that the ownership wants to fire you but they can't because they don't have enough money to fire you. That's not a spot you want to be in.
This is one I don't really think so, but people have asked me about it, so I want to get your guys' opinion. Is Arthur in trouble in Atlanta?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think he should be.
No. They are just now getting to the turn.
Agreed.
Where they can spend money. You know, they think about what they've done, the moves they've made, where they're not winning at a high clip. I mean, they won today over Tampa. By the way, Brady did play. 30-17 was the final in this game, Atlanta winning over Tampa. But they get rid of Julio Jones for a second-round pick to save money, and it was atrocious, the fact that the lack of production. But they get rid of him. They eat part of the cap, but they just move on. They made the right move, even though it didn't help their team at the time. They have also gone through a spot where Calvin Ridley has been suspended indefinitely, but they trade him away to get picks to Jacksonville for next year.
Yeah, watch out.
Ridley. Yeah. And then they also, with Matt Ryan, they were in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And that's ultimately why Matt Ryan ended up in Indy, is because they agreed to part ways and move him on, but they still had to eat a ton of cap with that. They are just now about to turn the corner on the salary cap to where they can spend some, and actually they don't have to go after every former Titan to fill a roster now.
Let me give you two outside-the-box possible surprises. Dennis Allen, one and done in New Orleans.
Could be.
Could see it.
Pete Carroll retires.
I was just about to say that.
In Seattle.
That's my we don't see coming, could see coming, is Pete Carroll retiring.
Yeah, it's one that no one's talking about right now, and I don't know that it's going to happen or have any inside info. But, Chase, if I'm looking at possible openings that we're not looking at right now, those are the two I'd circle and say one of those two could very well happen. I'd be shocked if both happen. But I'm circling those as possible.
I'll give you one unlikely, but you can't rule it out because of the owner. If Sean Payton's sitting out there and the Cowboys get knocked out next week,
yep,
Jerry might think about it. Because that's like his white whale, that he has always wanted Sean Payton.
If they are one and done, Chase, I would move that from outside the box to highly likely.
Yeah.
That would be the case, that he's going to make a run at Sean Payton.
Also, I'll just keep this in mind. The reports are that the Saints are going to ask for a first-round pick for him. They still own the rights to his contract.
And they'd be stupid not to, based on the interest.
Yeah, so they also control where he goes. That's the other factor with all this.
Well, they want to get him out of the NFC.
Yeah, or
– are they more likely to play ball with the Chargers? As an example.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Is there any chance at all that if he's like, I'm ready to coach again and they want to move on from Dennis Allen, he just goes back?
I don't think so.
I think he's just done with New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, they still don't have a quarterback.
And said, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And now he can cut ties and move on, and he can pair himself with any quarterback that makes realistic sense for him to win and win now. You know, that's the other factor. He can pair himself with Brady, which were the reports. He could pair himself with a first-round draft pick. He could pair himself with Justin Herbert, potentially, or Prescott, or whatever. And in terms of, like, head coaching candidates, he's really the only guy that anyone's talking about. I mean, Dan Quinn at this time last year was being discussed for the Dallas defense. And, I mean, I would put him in the category of
– I think he's still being discussed.
Coaching candidates, but, yeah, he is. But not nearly to the extent that we're going to start with this week when Black Monday rolls around tomorrow. Yeah. Great discussion. And if Luther's still there, hang on, Luther. You'll lead us off. You go front of the line whenever we return. 615-737-1025, our number. NFL postgame, we are live at 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer, Old Smoky Moonshine. Sitting on the stage off to the side as we watch – Philadelphia and Dallas, and the two games on at the same time, battling for the NFC East. Philly's leading. Dallas is trailing as they begin the second half. We have all the scores. We'll also peek ahead to Green Bay, Detroit a bit later, and the magnitude of what Aaron Rodgers can pull off based on where we thought he was, and the fact that everyone's like, well, maybe they should play Jordan Love to see what they have. Now Green Bay can be in the postseason.
Who's got the last laugh, baby?
All of that and more. It is next on 102.5 The Game. From Outkick 360, Hutton and Withrow with you, along with the suit. Chase McCabe, who he's producing to show everyone. Let's be honest, Chad. He's producing to show everyone up today. Yeah. Everyone that, you know, says, hey, Chase doesn't work enough. He's not doing three or four things at once. Let's add a fifth. Well, here he is on a Sunday hanging with us as we hang at 6th and Peabody.
I've long said that leadership sometimes involves making sure that everyone that's under you understands that you work harder than they do. And that is what Chase is showing to everyone right now at 102.5 The Game, that on a Sunday evening, he is working harder than them. Chase, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is a great flex by you.
Thank you. I just, you know, I just want people to know just who I am.
Day by day. Just one day at a time. Just getting things done. Chase is getting after it. I love it.
So, Jags beat the Titans. They're headed to the postseason. I keep pointing this out because I'm fascinated by what Staley is doing in this game against the Broncos, the Chargers-Broncos game. Currently, Denver leads in the third quarter 24-17, 9:57 left. Mike Williams has already been hurt, and Justin Herbert remains in the game. Now, with a win, they can go to Jacksonville. If they lose, Baltimore's going to Jacksonville. But why is Herbert remaining in a game where they're already in the postseason and you're facing a Denver defense that doesn't suck, that can rush the passer? I would get him out of there, personally. Enough's enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's odd. But, I mean, we talked about it with Jacksonville last week. Now, if your mindset is we've been in win mode every week, we can't turn that off at any point, we're going to play our guys, then in that respect, I can understand why you're keeping your guys in.
615-737-1025, our number for NFL postgame, presented by Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville on Broadway, Renters Warehouse in Two Rivers Ford.
Phone lines open if you want to jump in, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Quickly, how about the actual play call to throw that weird lateral after a completion on a third and long play? Chase, I was shocked when that took place.
I didn't know what they were doing. I mean, I in that moment was like, that's way too creative, which has been the problem with Todd Downing at times.
I thought it was an homage to Bill Belichick.
Me too.
Yeah.
From Mike Vrabel.
No, from New England.
Yeah, that said, hey, I am a Belichick guy after all, that I'm going to do this. And you know, not that it was a play call because he was set up on the sideline open to where that was the play call. It was shocking.
And the fact that Burks made –
it also almost worked.
It almost worked.
Throw it forward,
but he didn't even sit like he. It was like a trick shot.
Yeah, like, he just threw it behind his head.
Yes, it was.
Well, and he was going down, so he couldn't see where it was going. So he just hoped
you gotta,
for it.
You got to just go down. I mean, I think the coaching point would have been you do that if you catch it open, guys coming to tackle you, then you throw it. If you've got a good position with your feet to throw it backwards, do it. If not, go down.
But this is,
and I think he just freaked out and threw it anyways.
But this is also like the Titans were in control of that game. In control of that game. It was a low-scoring game, but that's their style. And this is the head-scratcher for me with Downing. We can say, oh, that nearly worked if it's not a four. Why are they calling that play in
this
weird game knowing
– just run a draw and get out of there.
The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Titans twice this year. They have 30 points off of turnovers in the two games combined. They beat the Titans because the Titans turned it over. And I don't know why you're doing that in that spot, regardless if it was a turnover or not. And it wasn't. But it's mind-numbing to me when they call things and when they don't. And it's not, by the way, it's not all on Downing. Vrabel knew that play call was coming in. It makes no sense based on how they have to win games.
Totally agree. 615-737-1025 if you want to jump in.
Luther, thank you for your patience. We appreciate you, man, always for listening and your support here and your love of 102.5.
Let's take this one step further. Let's go back to the third quarter. Henry had a big run. It was second and seven? That hold on Okonkwo? That set up the first turnover. And then I thought the ball went incomplete because I thought the ball was coming forward and he threw it. So if you take that hold away, you probably at worst set yourself up for a punt and you play field position. Or if that hold is not called, you're in field goal range and you're up two scores, 19-10, which means the only way the Jags could beat you is they would have had to score 10 points. So let's, or either, or if you get the touchdown, then you really put them in a spot where they have to score twice, two touchdowns in the end zone. But I think that hold in the third quarter turned everything around, because it was second and seven, and then it turned into a second and 17, and it just went downhill after that. So you didn't have to be in that position. But now on to the reason why I call.
Uh-huh.
Since you're already talking on coaches for this monstrosity of a franchise that went seven straight L's without a win, since we're already on the subject of firing coaches, I remember a certain producer who's back there behind the glass today on his earlier show.
Hello.
Talk about special teams.
Yes.
How much longer do we have to deal with this monstrosity, Craig Aukerman, as special teams coach? He sucks. Ever since Alan Lauer has been gone as special teams coordinator, it ain't been right since. Offensive line coach. I don't know what he's thinking, but I do know one thing. Since Mike Munchak has been gone as the O-line coach, it ain't been the same since. We don't have any old-school coaches on those sides of the ball that's going to demand more, and for those that actually do what they're supposed to do, they're going to play. For those that don't, you're going to be sitting. And that's just me. I mean, we don't – it's like, I don't know. But do you bring Tannehill back on a, what, one-year, $18 million deal, and then cut him after this year, after the following year? Maybe. Or do you keep Dobbs as the backup? Yeah. But do I really want to go after another QB when you need another true receiver? And, oh, Robert Woods on 3rd and 12, you catch the ball 11 yards. You should be adept enough as a veteran to get past the first down stick. You put your team in a spot when you came up a yard short. You have to get past the marker. And I hope Robert Woods is not brought back next year for $8 million when he's not an $8 million receiver.
There's a lot to unpack there. It's a good call. So, a lot to get into. The fumble by Dobbs. I believe it's probably 55-45 a fumble, the way it's coming out. I've also seen that ruled an incomplete pass many times in all levels of football. It's typically an incomplete pass on the field, and then upon review, they uphold it. It was quickly ruled a fumble, and very, very, very suspiciously quickly ruled upon review a fumble. I thought, and Chase, you can weigh in on this too, I felt almost insane at how quickly Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, oh yeah, it's a fumble. It's a fumble. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
His arm is clearly moving forward. Now, it is made contact with quickly.
Yeah, they're saying the ball moved before
and it's quickly coming out for, you know, not in his hand as he's going. But I thought it was way more of a debate than they were allowing for.
The word that is intriguing in all of it, Chase, is they use the word confirmed.
Right.
They confirmed that it was a fumble and a touchdown.
I don't know how you confirm that with every angle I saw. It wasn't as cut and dry. I mean, there was even people on Twitter that were tweeting at me because I said, that looks like an incomplete pass. Like, nah, Chief, it's a fumble.
First glance, I thought it was a fumble when I watched it today.
Yeah, and honestly, the replies I got on Twitter were probably 60-40, probably incomplete, but it could have gone either way. I mean, I'm not saying definitively. I just think that there is a debate to be had about the way we see that call.
Yeah.
The way we see that play called across the NFL, and then what happened in so quickly, it's very fishy that it was – it's almost like they didn't have time to go to even the monitor or anyone to say, just quickly confirmed. Right? It was – I thought that was very odd in that moment. Craig Aukerman is terrible. I don't know what's going to get him to go somewhere else. Todd Vrabel. Downing's worse.
Vrabel's decision.
But, I mean, you can only say, well, he's not on the field so many times. At some point, someone's got to be held accountable. And typically it's the coach in charge of that unit.
They've had
he decides who goes on the field. That's the problem.
Yes.
But you're like 10 men, you need another, you're running them in late. That has happened a lot. Now, how much of that is, you know, the backups to the backups being in? To me, it doesn't matter. You know, if these guys have played on special teams throughout their careers, regardless of where they are, the organization, the continuity, the rhythm that we're used to seeing from a Vrabel coach team was not there and not very cohesive down this stretch. That there's no doubt about that.
You have to go to your own standard, too.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel's standard as head coach and leader of the defense is they can have a mash unit and still be productive on defense.
Yes.
So you can't go back to that excuse of these are special teamers.
And offense.
There are plenty of athletic bodies you bring in that can play special teams if well drilled and know what to do. So that's on the coach. I'm sorry. I don't know why he continues to be employed.
There are a number of players that the new general manager and Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk and Kenneth Adams collectively have to decide on what they're going to do moving forward with this Titans team. We'll go through them. And one that I'm not even, you know, listing here because it's a no-brainer, at least I assume it is, but we'll find out on the finances, is Jeffrey Simmons. We'll hear from Simmons and his comments in the locker room when we return, and then we'll discuss some of the bigger notable players who the new GM is going to need to make a decision on this offseason. That's next, right here on NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
We fighters, man. Me personally, I'm battling through so much, man. I've been shooting my ankle up since week 8, man. These guys in the locker room, man, I love them. No matter what, I want them to be on that field. I don't know what, I mean, I figured out this whole season what I could do to get better, but like I said, you guys meant so much to me, man. I just wanted to be on the field, hurting. I didn't care. But, so I'm a fighter, man. I'm a warrior. I'm going to give it all to my guys because that's how much I love the game and this locker room, man, so. I appreciate these boys so much, man. We'll find a way next year to be better as a team, and we're going to figure it out.
There's Jeffrey Simmons postgame last night. That's a guy you keep. That is an identity piece, identity star. And as NFL postgame continues, we'll get some scores in a moment. Chad, that is item zero. Mark Howard would always have all these topics to hit on
the
wake-up
zone. Rest in peace, Mark Howard, yeah.
And it didn't start with number one. He started with zero and worked his way to 10. That's item zero for the new general manager. In fact, Ryan Cowden, let's get it going. Like, I can tell you with certainty, his comments about not the organization not having money to pay him was from a conversation in the preseason, not whenever he actually did that interview. It's not like they weren't going to pay him next year or the year after. It was last year's offseason where they were handcuffed with the salary cap. Well, that's no more. They're going to end up paying him, I think, much more per year, probably upwards of $5 million more per season based on the fact of having to wait. But, Chad, there is no way you let that dude walk.
Yeah, it's if there's a player on this roster – that is due to see two different eras of Titans playoff success or getting the playoffs, it is Jeffrey Simmons on the front end of his career with the success we've seen those last 5 years of trips to the Titans and whatever momentary lapse they have. You hope it's momentary.
Yes.
This year, maybe next, and then maybe back in the playoffs next year. But to see it through that with his mentality and with that clip we just heard, that Chase played for us. Yeah, it's Jeffrey Simmons. I'm with you.
I think he's
a foundational Mike Vrabel type guy. If this is going to be Mike Vrabel's team, and we believe it is, he's a Mike Vrabel guy.
Chad, I think he's the best player on the roster. Any position.
I would not argue that. I really want to see David Long Jr. come back.
We need to discuss him.
Yeah,
I do too.
That's another one that I know you're going to get into some guys, but I loved his development. He's maybe – if Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on the team, I'm not arguing that. David Long Jr. may be my favorite player on the team. from an activity standpoint of what I see from him.
He has changed my mindset on him more than any player, because the mindset, not that he was bad, he was just I thought he was a role player, and he's gone to that next shelf, right? He is a part of the solution to problems. They don't have many of those dudes, and they were not as good when they lost him due to injury down the stretch. So we discussed Ryan Tannehill. They bumped up Derrick Henry's contract, guys. They gave him a $2 million raise right before the start of the season. He went from $12 million base to $14 million to play this year, and that gave him some guarantees, but it also allows them to get out of the deal for next year if they so choose, based on how they restructured that money. With that in mind, how do we think they approach this? Because it's not like the next guy's on this roster. I don't buy that.
Chase, you want to take this one first?
I was actually editing something, so I missed the question.
Henry's deal.
Yeah, look, that one is not as cut and dry as I think everybody thinks it is. Because, sure, your heart says you figure it out, you bring him back. I mean, he's – what do you end up with, 1,500 yards somewhere in there? I mean, that wasn't bad by any means. But if you're going to go into rebuild mode, that's not really a guy you rebuild with. And I don't know what you would get for him necessarily, but – that would certainly be something that I would look at for two reasons. One, you're rebuilding. And two, that dude deserves to go somewhere to chase a ring. If you're not, if it's not going to be here, and if you've closed, if the window's closed and you're going to rebuild the offense, then Derek deserves better than that, because he doesn't have long to go chase that ring.
Chad, just to set this up though, It's not as easy as being a receiver or a quarterback to go chase a ring. Derrick Henry would have to go to a team that fits that style and mentality. There are not many of those that are chasing a ring right now.
So fair. As painful as it was for the Titans this year, for Titans fans, to watch A.J. Brown dominate for Philly, and now we're seeing Philly up 19-3, start of the fourth quarter on New York, they're going to be the number one seed in the NFC with A.J. Brown. Painful. It's going to be even more painful to watch King Henry rack up some big stiff arms and big runs for another team. That's a contender, but it's absolutely what should happen. They need to part ways, and they need to move on and get what they can for him and then start this rebuild. I know, Hutton, and you've said it, and I get there's no just totally clean, you know, wipe the Band-Aid off and you're good in a year and a half.
Right.
You know, or 2 years, and get rid of everyone. But I'm with Chase on this. I don't think that Derrick Henry right now is a guy that you need for a rebuild when you're going to retool this roster. And he's going to be great for someone else. I respect the guy, love the guy for what he did for the Titans, and it's going to be painful to watch him have some dominant games, which he will. He's not totally done yet at all. He will have big-time games for a contender. But that's what needs to happen.
Zach Cunningham, Bud Dupree, peace. Robert Woods, see ya. Again, I'm just spitballing here.
Yep.
Yep.
No, you're right.
So far, I agree with you.
It should be this easy for the new GM. The way you're going through this list right now, it really should be this easy.
Because those guys are getting paid, and they're not producing based on what roles they should be producing for the money that they're eating up here. Austin Hooper made some plays down the stretch, but he's a possession guy. He's not Jonnu Smith from 2020. But
he was also Josh Dobbs' reliable target. So yeah, Dobbs is not going to be the long-time starter. My point is Dobbs is there such a short time. He had a rapport with him and not everyone else. I don't think you can factor that in too much.
I think overall he's a good addition, but he wasn't reliable enough. He and Robert Woods tied for the team lead in catches since week 9. Ooh. Chad, to what you're saying, that's emblematic of why this offense really struggled. Let's also say that. But he's not a yards after catch guy, right?
Yeah.
He's a possession dude. He can move the chains, but he's not the explosive aspect. But
he's cheap, though.
Need, yes. I think he's back. Tyrre Tart should be back.
I love Tyrre Tart.
Who am I leaving out? Me
too. Tyrre Tart is awesome.
David Long.
Oh, we just mentioned him. Yeah. So I I think he's another piece. If we mentioned item zero, he's number item one.
Yeah.
On the list, I'm with Chad on all that.
Yep.
So I mean, it comes down to, we're going to learn soon who they're looking at for GM. I'm really intrigued to see who they interview. And if it's Ryan Cowden, I think we all agree it's Mike Vrabel, who's the GM. But I'm not so certain that that's exactly what they're setting up. I don't know. It's been all quiet. What's the movie? All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah. It's been all quiet on the, what, East Bank Front?
Yes.
Of the Nissan Stadium? Yeah, that's the way it's been.
Let's when we come back, we'll give the scoreboard update as we head to 6 o'clock and ESPN Radio. The playoff scenarios, the current matchups, and we're still waiting on Eagles-Cowboys and the Seahawks game to also clear things out for Sunday Night Football, which is Green Bay and Detroit, and which team we would like to see more in the postseason, if in fact Detroit has a chance to get in. That's next on 102.5 The Game. The Eagles lead the Giants 19-3 as they are underway in the fourth quarter. Giants are driving inside the 15-yard line, but I give the scoreboard update with Philly because if they win, they have the first round bye. They win the NFC East. And Chad,
the Rams,
here we go,
lead the Seahawks 16-13. We just had a guy in a DeAndre Swift Lions jersey.
Wow.
Come up asking for a score update. We gave him that update, and he was very excited. Walked back, got another drink here at 6th and Peabody with his Lions, still with a chance at a win-and-end scenario. 8:38 left in the game. Seahawks with the football, trailing the Rams 16-13. If the Seahawks lose, you got another playoff game tonight like you had last night with the Titans and the Jags tonight between the Lions and the Packers.
And the only way Seattle gets in is with a win plus a Green Bay loss.
Yeah.
Green Bay win and in. It's that simple. Detroit can
as well. It becomes a win and in for both.
Both, yes.
But
yes.
First things first, Rams have to hold on.
NFL postgame presented by Two Rivers Ford, Renters Warehouse, and Superbook Sports. Normally live from Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook on Broadway at Margaritaville Broadway. Today at 6th and Peabody, our home for Outkick 360, which you can hear on 94.9 The Fan weekdays from 2 until 5. Or until Chase McCabe fires us off the air. He joins us producing today. The Giants just scored, so with the extra point pending, they can cut this to 9. It's currently 19-9, 10:04 remaining fourth quarter.
Davis Webb getting it done. Right now running it in for the Giants in relief of Daniel Jones with a touchdown.
And they need to protect Daniel Jones for the postseason too. It's strange to me. I'm sitting here going, well, I hope Seattle loses. Seattle's been one of the top storylines and best stories of the entire NFL season.
It's all about Hutton. It's all about what's in front of us.
Yeah.
It's all about what's next. And what's next is 1 hour and 8 minutes from now, the Lions and the Packers kicking off.
So
it's all to me. And also, come on, if you want an underdog story to root for,
yeah,
the Detroit Lions are the ultimate underdog in the NFL. Way more than the Seahawks, who won a Super Bowl recently. Give me the Rams right now to win because I want that Lions-Packers.
What's Baker Mayfield doing? Can you click on that and see what Baker's doing in this game? Because what he's doing in L.A. and what he wasn't doing in Carolina fascinates me, paired with McVay.
Yeah.
He's one to watch, too, this offseason. And maybe L.A. brings him back just because of the uncertainty with Stafford's health. We'll get to the stats on him in just a moment. But also – maybe I'll shock you, maybe I don't. I want Green Bay to win. I want Green Bay in the postseason. Not
Detroit. I do too. I'm good either way in that game. It's a rare one where I'm good with either winner, but rooting for Green Bay a little bit more, but it'd be really cool. If this score holds up between the Rams and the Seahawks, if the Lions sneak their way in. Hey, huge thanks to our sponsors this year throughout the season. This is our final NFL postgame show of the 2022 season. Big thanks to Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, Renter's Warehouse. Book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com. Give them a call, 615-398-9550. And Two Rivers Ford in-stock inventory is back. F-150s, explores, edges, escapes. They always do business the right way. They've been doing it for 40 years at Two Rivers Ford. Give them a call, 800-900-1000. Can't do these shows without our great sponsors. It's been a lot of fun. It's our 10th NFL postgame of the season, Hutton.
Chase.
And if Chase McCabe will have us, maybe we'll have 10 or, you know, what, 17 more next year in 2023. Who knows?
Maybe. Based on the conversation we have the last 2 hours, Chase, it's only going to be 17. No postseason.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think we're going to have to do our normal negotiating, you know, meeting our usual spot of a bar. So, you know, that's generally where we get a lot of stuff done. So
we're all deals between us will get done, and it will be done that way again, Chase.
Maybe in New York. Who knows?
Let's go around the horn here with our Super Bowl matchup predictions, since this is our final NFL postgame as the playoffs start next week. Would you like me to start this?
Yes.
Cincinnati against San Francisco.
That's a good one.
I think
that's a rematch.
Since he's winning this year.
It's a rematch of the John Taylor touchdown catch in 1981 in a Super Bowl against Boomer Esiason from Joe Montana that won a Super Bowl, 49ers Bengals. I am going to go Buffalo Bills, the new America's team, with everything going on to try to win their first Super Bowl. They will come out of the AFC, and they will take on the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
I'm going to go Bills over 49ers in the Super Bowl.
So not the Eagles.
Not the Eagles. Give me the 49ers.
Ooh. I'm also going to go Bills because I picked them to win it all in the preseason, and I'm going to stick with that. But as much as I hate to say it as a Cowboys fan, I think the Eagles are just that good. I'm a believer now, so give me Bills over the Eagles.
I think there will be some crazy upsets throughout this.
I do too. Like I think we're all probably going to be wrong, but
I mean the fact that New York's even in this game against Philly today with the backups they're playing is remarkable. Coach of the year is going to be Brian Daboll.
Yeah, and I think that the Jags have. I said this week on Outkick 360. They have strong 2010, I think it was the year 2011, Marshawn Lynch-led Seahawks vibes. That was a team with a losing record. They don't have a losing record.
Titans would have.
Yes, but a team that gets in and they're going to win a game, right? So I could totally see that happen.
Yeah, give me give me the team that scares you the most or should scare you the most.
Right now, like matchup-wise?
I mean, I'm going to go with one that Hutton has in the Super Bowl. It's Cincinnati.
For me, it is.
Cincinnati, after the – were they 0-2 or 0-3? I know they were definitely
0-2.
But from then on, I mean, they're the best team in football. So I think they're the ones to watch out for.
San Francisco has ended the regular season on a 10-game winning streak with Brock Purdy at quarterback. Like that, I'm riding the hot hand there, too. Brock Purdy finishes 114 for 170, 67% completion percentage, 13 touchdowns passing, one rushing to just four interceptions, and San Francisco scored 33 or more points in 5 out of 6 games that I'm referring to close the year. They can also beat you multiple ways. That's the key here. And look, no one wants to play Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. Like that, we should also the AFC quarterback play compared to the NFC is vastly different. It's way lopsided on who fears who, Chase. What would your answer be as we close up?
I mean, I think I'm with you, Cincinnati, but I could see Jacksonville winning a game. It wouldn't shock me.
Me too. As we wrap up, just briefly, and Chase, don't scream at the monitor there because I know you've got ESPN Radio coming up. Very important, ESPN Radio. And then plenty of coverage tonight for Sunday Night Football, Green Bay and Detroit. Big thank you to Michelle Knezovic and Junie Riddle this year who gave us great audio from the locker room. Ladarius Robinson set us up perfectly.
There has not been
week.
One issue with Ladarius all year. He has been terrific, getting everything set up seamlessly, helping us out throughout. So
Caroline Fenton, who filled in for me when I couldn't make it, huge thank you there.
Chase McCabe, who filled in for you also.
I'm getting to Chase. Chase made it happen. Chase, thank you, bro. Seriously, Chad and I have really enjoyed this because we don't take calls on Outkick. And the ability to hear from some familiar people that we would hear for, you know, a decade plus is really cool. And you and everyone at the station have been exceptional in allowing us just to have the time to do it.
Yeah, well, it's been awesome to have you guys. I mean, I've known you guys for a long time, and to be able to bring you over and make you a part of the family. And you know, the calls on OutKick, we might have to work on that. I think that might be something we have to look into.
We've tried for a while.
Hey, we'll have to go back up to New York to make that happen.
Yeah, it's where we get we'll get stuff done.
It's where all the deals happen, Chase. We'll get back up there. We'll get phone calls, and we'll get next year's schedule for this show signed up.
And finally, our great sponsors, our partners with Two Rivers Ford Renters Warehouse and Superbook Sports with their lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Again, and the listeners, thank you for joining us for NFL Postgame. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a special show around Super Bowl or the draft, or you can just tune in to OutKick 360 on 94.9 The Fan.
We're speaking it into existence right now with Chase McCabe.
Stay tuned. More NFL coverage as the fourth quarters come to a close and the postseason is in sight. That's next here on 102.5 The Game.